Apprentice navigator Jenna Ishii has sailed many legs of the Hokulea's voyages to the Galapagos, to Australia, Nova Scotia, to New York, and many more of those legs, actually. As education coordinator, she's arranged the many connections between groups and individuals that have happened at each landfall. It's so great to have you here today, Jenna. Could you maybe sketch out how this ambitious worldwide voyage idea first came about?
The idea was born in 1992 with our astronaut, Lacey Veach. Lacey was from Hawaii. He flew Space Shuttle Columbia. And in 1992, looking over the Hawaiian Islands, when he came back, he told Nainoa's father, take Hokulea around the world, you know, see what you can learn from the earth and bring it back to Hawaii. And those gifts from Hawaii can be gifts back to the earth. And that was basically the whole genesis of the idea of taking Hokulea around the world. This planet is in trouble and it needs help, and see what we can do. But it wasn't until 2007 when our leadership came to Japan and saw that people from all walks of life that did not speak English were coming in hundreds to touch Hokulea. And they said, you know, maybe it's time. Maybe Hokulea can do something, because she stands for peace and she stands for aloha. And in 2008, they agreed again. All of our voyaging leaders said, we're going to do this. And actually, that's when I came home to Hawaii and started volunteering with Polynesian Voyaging Society. So I was lucky to be part of the initial planning stages of, are we crazy? You know, really? Should we do this?
That did occur to you then.
Yeah. A lot of people, you know, some people were worried. Why are you taking Hokulea from our kids in Hawaii? What if something happens to her? She's the only Hokulea we have.
But that's when you, Jenna Ishii, began your training as an apprentice navigator. What skills does non-instrument navigation require?
You know, when you think about it, Polynesia is the biggest nation on Earth. They were the greatest scientists and explorers and mathematicians on the planet at their time. And so when you start breaking it down and you're like, wow, I'm doing math, I'm doing physics, I'm doing astronomy, you need every single part of this world, of the modern day sciences and the ancient ways of looking at nature to find your way. And Nainoa, he says you make about 1,000 observations a day and you make 2 decisions a day at sunrise and sunset. How far you think you've gone, where you've come from, and where you're going.
Mm-hmm. You've kind of put us on the boat there for just a second. I wish I could look into your eyes and see what you've seen.
You know, it's been amazing that folks like Nainoa and Bruce and Onohi, Shorty, Kalepa, they stay with us and they'll voyage with us. Nainoa says, I can teach you everything, you know, with a book. I can give you all the materials that we learned these last 40 years, but it's not till you're on the deck of the canoe watching me, watching how I stand, watching how I sleep, that you'll really understand what it's like to navigate. We're not scared. We're excited and ready for the next challenge. And they're always there, you know, if we have questions and so forth.
Well, how do you stand?
You know, imagine that you have no stars in the sky and it's complete cloud cover. So if you stand with your 2 feet firmly, you know, on the canoe, yeah. So anywhere on the canoe, but looking forward, you can start feeling the motion of how the 2 hulls are moving through the ocean, and how the wind is coming across the canoe, and how the swells are moving through the canoe. And the best navigators, like Papa Mao, they could be sleeping in a hull and know where they were going by the motion of the canoe.
By reading the currents and swells through their body.
What you do is, when you have a cue like the sun or the moon or a star, you know exactly where that is, and you can kind of place it. We call it a Hawaiian star compass. It's this mental construct of 32 points around the canoe, and you place whatever you know for sure, and then you kind of set your course for the day. And if all the cues in the sky go away, hopefully you can keep that course with the predominant swell and wind direction.
What if those change?
They do, and they change all the time. So if basically, if you have no more cues left and you don't feel confident anymore, you can close your sails and wait for a sign. And that's a good lesson in life, that you don't always have all the answers, and sometimes you have to just stop and wait, and nature will give you a sign. You just have to be patient.
I understand you don't get much sleep.
Yeah, usually, I mean, if you look at folks like Nainoa, he'll only sleep for like 2 hours a day max. You know, he'll take cat naps. So we try and mimic that. It's really hard.
Oh,
you get really delirious. And I've been seasick. I had a migraine. I think I had heat exhaustion. And I was trying to navigate in Samoa. And you just have to pull yourself together. But there are those moments where it just takes you to your deepest part of yourself where you have to kind of pull through. But I love that. I love that moment, actually. It's when you feel most alive.
It's good you feel that way, Jenna. But even, you know, people saying, okay, we'll hold this for 4 hours with really, how are they judging where they are?
Right. Well, the hardest time to navigate is the middle of the day. I mean, really from about 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. or even 3 p.m., the sun can't tell you much of anything. And so the crew members are actually, sometimes they're steering backwards. They're looking at the swell coming through the canoe. They're looking at the wind coming off the canoe. And those are really the cues they're using. Sometimes you can hold a distant cloud for maybe 15 minutes. So I know it teaches us some tricks. The system that was created is that you kind of look, you can base, it's like a really cool math problem. So you look at a wall and you stand a certain couple steps back and you measure the degrees 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to about 20, and you put your hand out. So if you see the film Moana and she's putting her hand out, she's actually measuring the degrees from the horizon to whatever you have, a rising star, what that degree is. And so we, ahead of time, everyone calibrates their hands. And each degree is 4 minutes. So every time the star rises, 1 degree, 2 degree, 3 degrees, that's 4 minutes later, 8 minutes later, and so on. So you can tell time using your hands. That's how we keep track of when people switch their watches. We measure the stars traveling, but that's how we use our hands.
You know, we didn't talk at all about the summit.
Yeah, you want people to go to that, right?
Yeah, so this whole week of homecoming is about celebrating. On Saturday, coming to Magic Island, everyone's welcome. And what we decided is to have this summit for the community on Sunday, Monday, and some parts of Tuesday at the Convention Center. Hokulea is coming under the bridge of the Alawai Canal. She'll be right there at the bottom of the stairs for canoe tours every day from 10 to 5. It's open to the public. There will be about 100 or so exhibitors of all our people from around the world in Hawaii that are doing things to take care of the earth. There'll be keiki activities. Sunday is a youth summit for kids ages 5 to 25. And Monday is the inspirational speaker series. And we invited some of our great navigators around the world that we've met. So that's going to be an awesome day. So, yeah, we invite you to come down Sunday, Monday, Tuesday and check us out. Hokulea.com is where you can find all the information.
Thank you so much, Jenna. It's just great. For all of us to remember, the Hokulea arrives in Honolulu officially, Saturday, June 17th, 7 a.m. Again, the Malama Honua Fair and Summit picks up Sunday through Tuesday at the Hawaii Convention Center, and you can find out more at Hokulea.com.